Seder of Rosh Hashanah that we have a minhag that we blow shofar every day after Shachris during Chodesh Elul. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch they call it a minhag that some communities have. They blow after Mincha also. Blow. That's what they do in Broyers. I wish that in Shulchan Aruch that they blow shofar after Mincha as well. And we blow shofar all month long until Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow shofar. Why is that so? So two reasons are given in Shulchan Aruch. So the Bir Agro, the Vilna Gaon, gives a halachic reason. We don't need Agadita. He gives a halachic reason. He refers you to the Gemara in the beginning of Arvei Pesachim, in the last prayer from Pesachim, where the Gemara says, what if a person is eating Friday afternoon? He's eating. Not supposed to. You're not supposed to eat late Friday afternoon in order that you should enjoy the Friday night meal. Same thing Erev Yontif, you're not supposed to eat. For sure, Erev Pesach, you're not supposed to eat in order to eat the Korban Pesach Latayovin, Matzah Latayovin, yeah. But what happens? Someone was eating, and then it comes, Shenge Davin's Mincha before, or he's not from the people who daven, well, whatever. Somehow the Gemara ignores the Mincha, the davening. But the Meir of the Mincha, he's eating away, and then it comes Shabbos, so what should he do? So the Gemara says, Paris Mapa, Omikadesh. He should take a cloth and cover over all the food. And then he should say Kiddush. What happened to Ma'ariv? What happened to Kabbalah Shabbos? The Gemara doesn't explain. He should cover over the food and say Kiddush and then continue to eat. So what does he have to cover over the food for? What is that all about? So the Rashbam writes in his commentary on that Gemara, in order to make a differentiation and a heker, a separation between Achilas HaRishus and Achilas Mitzvah. That whatever you eat on Friday all week long, that's optional. That's a Rishus. But whatever you eat on Shabbos, that's a Mitzvah. You're in fulfillment of a Mitzvah. So we don't want to confuse, we don't want to blend together, mix together Achilas HaRishus and Achilas Mitzvah. So the Vilna Gaon says, he thinks that that's the main reason why we should stop blowing shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah, because the whole month long our blowing of shofar is only a minhag. And on Rosh Hashanah the blowing shofar is a real din. It's a real din deraisa. So we don't want people to think, just like he blew shofar today, so we got to blow shofar tomorrow. It's all the same thing. It's not all the same thing. This is a real bona fide mitzvah min haTorah. And this is not even a din midirabbanan. This is lower. There are dinim min haTorah, there are dinim midirabbanan, and then there are only minhagim. And then there are local minhagim, then there are universal minhagim. There are different madregas, and you have to halt kuf. You have to keep everything in proper perspective. So we want everybody to know that this is only a minig, and tomorrow is going to be a real din. Rather, this year that Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos on Matzoi Shabbos, when you say Havdalah, so you say Hamavda ben Kodesh leKodesh. All of the brachas and all the tefillas are patterned after biblical expressions. The Chachamim were masakin the Nischos HaTefillah and the Nischos HaBracha based on Tanakh, based on biblical Hebrew. So the Avudram dedicated the whole Sefer to the purpose. The Avudram and several other Rishonim have Tzvarim where they show every phrase in the Siddur where it comes from. Ashiyeshu v'isecha, the Pesukah de Zimmer is straight from Tilim. That's the Gam that we know, that's straight from Tilim. But some of the brachas and the Tfilas, that's not straight from Tanakh. So there's one phrase from one Sefer, another phrase from another Sefer. So several Svarim, the Avudram and several others wrote Svarim to give you the Mar Mekayim is what everything is based on. So the Avudram writes regarding this Nusach HaBracha, Hamavdal ben Kodesh leKodesh. So there is a source for such an expression in Chumash that it says V'hivdila ha'parechas lachem ben ha'kodesh or ben kodesh ha'kodeshim, that when Moshe Rabbeinu made the Mishkan, so they had the Heichal, and behind the Heichal they had the kodesh ha'kodeshim, where they had the Orem with the Luchais, and there was a parochas for the purpose of separating and distinguishing between Stam Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's the Melitza, that's the expression that we use, Hamavda ben Kodesh LeKodesh, is based on that Loshon HaPosik. But the concept is a very important concept. We shouldn't lump together, even if everything is a Din D'oraisa, there's 613 mitzvahs, we shouldn't lump together all of the mitzvahs in one category. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Havizor b'mitzvah kala kevachamura, you have to be medaktik to be a Shema mitzvahs, whether it's a difficult mitzvah or an easy mitzvah. Just because something is only the Rabbanan and something else is Minatar, doesn't mean you should be Mizazal in the mitzvah of the Rabbanan. Or just because one mitzvah is more important than the other, or all in the area of the Raisa, doesn't mean you shouldn't observe the less important mitzvahs. But it still is important to halt kop, to keep everything in proper perspective, to know which mitzvah is more important than others. Sometimes you have a conflict, and you can't fulfill both, so you have to know who is nitche mipnei mi, which is more important. Yeah, everybody has to have priorities. very important. Even if you all believe in the same ideas, but if by one person this idea has priority, let's say we all believe in 613 ideas, we all subscribe to 613 mitzvahs, but if by one person living in Eretz Yisrael is the biggest mitzvah from all, more important than Kibbutz, more important than Shabbos and Kashrus, they'll live in Eretz Yisrael, they'll be prepared to give up the rest of Yiddishkeit to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Pashto says that that's wrong. There are some mitzvahs which are so important that you have to even be mevatim on all the other mitzvahs in order to fulfill the rules and regulations. When you have to grab, when you have to try to do one mitzvah, even if it means that it's going to be at the expense of many other mitzvahs. But you have to know, you have to have your priorities straight. You can't have tzedreit. There was a French philosopher, Pascal, who wrote a book on philosophy, Pensée, his thoughts. So he writes in the Hakdama to his book, I read it many years ago, he writes in the Hakdama Dachtach that someone can have a taina against him that he doesn't have any chidushim. Every idea that he has, Shteichen, everybody says somewhere else. So he says he can have the same taina against a poet. A poet writes a poem, every word states in the dictionary. So the answer is no, but he organized the words in such a way, he took a word here, a word there, he organized it in such a way that it has a new idea. So he says the same is true if I believe in the same 500 ideas that somebody else, let's say we believe in 613 ideas, we all believe in Taryag Mitzvahs, but I hold that this is the most important and that's the next one, and that's the, I have a whole one hierarchy, the other person has a different hierarchy, so each idea has a different optaich, and it's absolutely true. Each idea has a different meaning. If that's more important than that, so this means something else and that means something else. The Gemara talks about this a little bit rather in humor. The Gemara has a story, a tragic incident. In the days of the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohanim had to be makriv the Karbonis. It was different. Kohanim and Levim were different. The Levim had to have somebody appoint them. There was someone in charge, and he would say, this is your function, you do this today, and you do that today, you lock the gates over there, and you do this. And a Ben Levi is not permitted to do a function that he wasn't appointed to. But by Kohanim, the Pashtus is that there is no such din. This is Sefer Achinuch writes that there is, and it's difficult. The Pashtus of the Gemara is that by Kohanim there is no such halacha. So how do you decide who's going to have this truth? They'll kill each other? The Gemara said they used to kill each other, used to fight. So originally the takana, they had to figure out who's going to have this chus to do. So the first the takana was they should all start running. Whoever reaches the mizbeach first gets this chus. So they were once running, who's going to have this chus to do an avoida, to be makar of the carbon. And one beat out the other one, and the other one felt bad that he lost. They were all carrying knives to shech the carbon. So he took the knife and he stabbed them to death. The Gemara that felt nice, he stabbed them to death. So then the father of the one who was just killed was standing there. When they took the knife out of his heart, so after they took the knife out of his heart, so then he started to moan and groan, and then he died afterwards. So the father says, he lifts up his hand to heaven, Baruch Hashem, the knife didn't become tummy. The man whose son was just murdered in front of everybody in the Beis Hamikdash, Baruch Hasham, the sakin, the klisharis, the sakin didn't become nitma. So the Gemara says, look, I'm a shugare. It's an important concept to haris klisharis that the kalim in the Beis Hamikdash shouldn't be tummy. But there's another concept of Ritzicha, that you're not allowed to kill. So he held from both. Everybody holds from both. But the shad is which is Mohammed. So by the father of the one who was killed, the Indian of Taharis Klisharis was so much higher than Osirtzach, it didn't bother him that his son was just killed, that a human being was killed, that a Yid was killed, that my son was killed. Tanish, it didn't mean anything. He was so excited that the Klisharis didn't become Tanish. So the Gemara there discusses this. That even if everybody subscribes to all the same ideas, like the Chacham said, like Pascal said, but you have to have your priorities straight. It doesn't mean that that a person, let's say there are some people who keep as many mitzvahs as they can, they keep all the mitzvahs that apply to them. I can't keep mitzvahs that apply to women, I have no shaykhs, and mitzvahs that apply to Kohanim and Levim, I'm not a Kohanim, not a Levim. But there are people who keep all the mitzvahs that apply to them, and they adopt a favorite mitzvah. They have a favorite mitzvah where they spend a lot of time and a lot of money, a lot of effort, a lot of energy. They want to do that. That's a fine zach. The halacha does not require that everybody has to spend the maximum of their effort and energy and money and time and everything on the most important mitzvahs. Each person should pick whatever mitzvah he would like to. In fact, the Sefer Charedim one of the late Rishonim writes a whole essay in his Sefer that that's the way it's supposed to be. Everybody has to adopt a favorite mitzvah, whichever it happens to be. He quotes a Gemara like that, the Gemara Megillah, where the Gemara has a discussion. The students asked the different Rabbanim who lived to ripe old age, they asked them, Bameh Harachta Yomim. So one of them says he was always makpid to daven mitagartel, and even then he couldn't afford it. He sold everything, all his furniture, and he got a gartel. Another one says he was always makpid to make sure he had wine for Kiddush, even if he could make Kiddush over Chalas, if you don't mind. No, he sold his sheitel and he sold his bed in order to get wine for Kiddush. And the other one was makpid on this. So what? The gartel with the sheitel with the Kiddush is the most important thing in the world? No, they had other things that were more important. So the Sefer HaRenim says, you see from the Gemara, that each one had his own favorite mitzvah, that was his pet mitzvah, and he adopted that, and that was his thing. Like there are some people, mikvahs, they'll go around the whole world making mikvahs. They observe all the mitzvahs, not just the Taras HaMishpochet, but that's their mitzvah, mikvahs. Everyone has a right. So the Sefer HaRenim claims that that's the way it's supposed to be, and he quotes Pesukim from Tanakh. That's again, it's fine. That's not a violation of this inyan. But still, a person has to have his priorities straight. So this is an important thing. We don't. The Vilna Gaon says we do not blow shofar on erev Rosh Hashanah. Kedei lahavchem in tkiyas the rishus, the tkiyas the mitzvah, the tkiyas of Chodesh Elul are not really rishus. They're minhagim, but still, a minig is still not a din, and even a din the rabbanon is still not a din the raisa. You have to have a hecker. You have to have a difference. They've got it this year. Rosh Hashanah, first day Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so the first day Rosh Hashanah we're not going to blow shofar anyway. So the pashtus is, if you blow shofar on Friday, and Rosh Hashanah, you're going to have a distinction anyway. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that our minig is that we still do not. We have 2 days that we don't blow shofar. We still don't blow shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah, because other years when Rosh Hashanah falls out in the middle of the week, we don't. They don't blow in Chodesh Elul. Okay. The Shag HaSari has a discussion regarding the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah. Is there a Chi of Simcha? Is there a Mitzvah of Simcha? The original Pasuk in Chumash that speaks about a Mitzvah of Simcha Shteg V'Samachta B'Chagech is talking about Sukkot. It doesn't say about any other Yontif. But we know that there is a Hekish, there is a comparison between Pesach Shavuot Sukkot. So Pesach Shavuot Sukkot is alright, that's the Shalosh Regalim. They have a lot in common. But Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is really very different. So should we assume that there is a Mitzvah of Simcha even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Shag HaSari has such a discussion. The Rav Zuchan Lebracha always used to point out whenever he spoke about this topic, he said, it's a machlekes hatamayim. Well, what are they clearing about? There is a din that observance of Avelus and Simchas Yontif cannot go together. The Tarta Desasir. Liolam, why is it the Tarta Desasir? Let that person feels uncomfortable wearing shoes. He comes home on Shabbos Yontif, he takes off his shoes. You must wear shoes on Shabbos. Must wear leather shoes. He wants to wear his slippers. He wants to walk barefoot. It's not a violation of Kol Shabbos if he wants to. So what's wrong if the person on Yontif, if he wants to take off his shoes? What's the contradiction? And many of the other things also. What, let's say, the Ovel is Osir Berechitza. So person washes his whole body on Yontif, he doesn't have to wash his body. The Sicha, Tashm Shamita, Wasipse, has to do all these things on Shabbos Yontif, it doesn't do. Why is it a contradiction? So the Rav pointed out, no, but if the person abstains from all of these inyonim of Nilas HaSandal because of Avelus, so that's the contradiction. The act of not, the hanhog of not wearing shoes per se, and not smearing oil on the body per se, that per se is not a contradiction to Simchas Yontif. But the inyon and the mitzvah of Avelus and the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif are both, you have Maisa mitzvah, but the kiyum is really a kiyum shebelev, that here the person is in a state of Simcha, and here the person is in a state of Atzvus. So in the kiyum there's a contradiction. So that's why the halacha says that Avelus and Simchas Yontif is a contradiction. It's a tarta desasir. So that's why we have a din. If one is Rachmana Litzlan in the middle of Shiva and Yontif comes, so cancel Shiva. If the person is in the middle of Shloshim, so it comes Yontif, so cancel Shloshim. Because there's a contradiction between Simchas Yontif and Avelus. The kiyum shebelev is the contradiction. The hanhogis themselves are not a contradiction. But the kiyum mitzvah is the attitude the person should have, the state of mind that he should be in. So that's going to be the contradiction. So the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanaim. What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? The person is in the middle of Shiva, in the middle of Shloshim comes Rosh Hashanah, comes Yom Kippur. Does it cancel avelus or not? Should we assume that there's only a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif on Sukkis? That's the original pasuk, and Pesach and Shavuot goes together. Pesach Shavuot Sukkis is the same. The same minyan as Sukkah. So should I say no? It even extends to the other two Yom Tovim in the Chumash and the Parsha of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as well. So halacha l'maaseh, we paskin that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur also cancel avelus. But that doesn't really prove the point 100%, because we have a rule in the Gemara, whenever there's a machloikis and hilchas avelus, whenever there's a machloikis, we paskin l'kula. Even if the machlokes is not in Hilchas Avelah, here the machlokes is in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. Is there a mitzvah of Simcha or not? If you have any machlokes, and even if over there with the original place is the machlokes, we paskin the other way. The majority opinion is that you paskin the other way. When this shaylik is relevant to Hilchas Avelah, then the Gemara says you go lekula. So it could well be that the fact that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur cancel Shiv and cancel Shloshim isn't really a proof, a conclusive proof that we really paskin la'alocha like this Tana. Halacha k'tira meikol bovel, with respect to Avelis, be paskin l'kula. Could be on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur gufa. There's no Indian of Simcha. So the Rav used to quote the Rambam. The Gemara raises the question. The Gemara says the Malachi Hashores, the angels, ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, how come the Jewish people are observing Rosh Hashanah? How come they don't say Hallel? They're not. This one is supposed to recite Hallel on Yom Tovim as an expression of Simchas Yontif. That's how the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah. So the Malachim asked the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, how come the Israel don't say Hallel? So the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, no, he defends our practice. He says he thinks they're doing right. If Sefer Chaim and Sefer Meisim, Suchim Lefanai, if the book of life and the book of death, everything is in the balance, everything is hanging in the balance, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is deciding who miyichya miyomus, so it's not an occasion, yeah, it's not a good time to say halal. So the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says that we shouldn't say halal. So the Shad is, what was the answer? The answer was that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you may have din, there's no inyan of simcha, because tifachai mesifim meisim, suchim lefanim, so there's no simcha, or maybe means something else. So when the Rambam quotes this din, the Rambam writes, on Shalosh Shigalim you say Hallel, and on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur you don't say Hallel, because they're not Yemei Simcha Yisera. So you see from the expression of the Rambam that there is a Chiyuv Simcha. It's not just an Hilchas Avelus. We are makel because there was such an opinion. No, we really paskin there is a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but it's a different kind of Simcha. It's not Simcha Yisera. We're not like it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should have delicious meals on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You can't, but on Rosh Hashanah you have delicious meals, but it shouldn't be with the lemon meringue pie for dessert, and it shouldn't be with the 7-layer cake, and it shouldn't be too much. It should be very bekovedik, but not like a regular yom. It should be a little bit toned down. The Medrash says, Yom HaSoylam, when they have a Yom HaDin, and the Melech is going to judge them, they're going to look awful. They'll probably be so frightened, they won't want to shave, and they won't want to dress nicely, and they'll be out of their minds, and they'll be so nervous. They walk around in their pajamas, they won't even get dressed, they'll lay in bed the whole day, they won't know what to do. They won't want to eat, they won't have any cheshik to eat, they may die, they may kill them. And Bnei Yisrael have bitachon that everything is going to turn out well. So the Medrash says, Bnei Yisrael, we shave in advance, you take a haircut, look over to Rosh Hashanah, you take a haircut, look over to Yom HaDin. The Melech may decide you should go. The Melech may decide you're going to get Oynish Misa. So what did I spend my $15 on the haircut for? If I'm going to die tomorrow, the Magmar Din is going to be the Misa. I should be nervous. So the Medrash says we have Bitochen, and the Bnei Shalom is going to give us a break. So we have the covered dicker meals, and we dress nicely. We don't lay in bed a whole day nervous. You have to have a Amos Adin, but it shouldn't be such an Amos Adin. So it says we eat and we drink nicely, as the Pasuk says in Ezra, when they came back and they built the second Beis HaMikdash. So they opened up for Rosh Hashanah. So it says, L'chu ichlo mashmanim, v'shesu mamtakim, they should eat and drink and enjoy. But it says it shouldn't be the same as a Yontif, still not the same as a Pesach Shavuot Sukkot. So from the Rambam, when the Rambam writes, we don't recite Hallel, although Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Yemei Simcha, but it's not Yemei Simcha Yisir. So you see that we hold that there is an inyan of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah. So the question was raised by the Gaonim and by the later Rishonim, if it's a Yom Simcha, so there should be a Nisa Tainus. There should be a Nisa Tainus. A Yom Kippur, there's a Yom Simcha, but it's a Chiyuv Tainus. Right. That's what the Rabban Shalom HaGehesim. You have to fast on Yom Kippur, you have no choice. But Rosh Hashanah doesn't say one way or the other. So L'chayra on Rosh Hashanah, if there is a Chiyuv Simcha, like the Medrash says, it's not like a person is going for a Mishpat, like the Yom HaSoylam are going for a Mishpat by Melech Bas of Adam. He's not going to eat, and he's not going to shave, and he's not going to put on his nice begodim, so he's not going to eat. But we have bitachon, and we do eat. So the Pashtus is that there should be an Isa Tainus on Rosh Hashanah. But that's how many Goyim say, that on Rosh Hashanah is the same as Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, well, that you're not allowed to have Tainus. So you're not allowed to have Tainus. So the Rishonim quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that on a Shabbos or a Yontif, when it's prohibited to have a Tainus, not only does it mean you're not allowed to be Mekabel Tainus. On Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, I dab Mincha, and I say, Hareini b'Tainus Lamocha, I'm Mekabel by myself, tomorrow I'm going to fast the whole day. That for sure is not allowed. That's an Isa Tainus on Shabbos and Yontif. What if the person wasn't the Kabbal Tainus? He just, he was in shul, in a gedavent, and then he sits and he learns, and he says tilim, and he spends the whole day. It turns out that he didn't eat a whole day. So that's also considered a Tainus. Even though he was not in the Kabbal Tainus, Lamaisi, he fasted a whole day. Mm-hmm. So that's a violation of Tainus. And not only if he fasted a whole day, so the Rishami says a bigger Chiddush, you have to eat before Chatzos. You have to have something before noon. Whatever noon is now, the noon is
around
1 o'clock or so, a little before 1 o'clock, yes, 5 to 1 or something. So in the Rishonim it says that on a Shabbos or a Yontif, when one is not permitted to fast, so you have to see to it that you have a bite, you eat or you drink something before Chatzos. If it comes Chatzos and the person didn't eat, even though he wasn't in the Kabbal Tainus, and even though he doesn't plan, it's, he's not going to fast the whole day. He's just about to eat. So that's also not proper.
Is that the Makor of Kiddush Club?
I'm afraid so. Everything has a Makor, yeah. They should daven in a minyan that they should finish before Chatzos, and make Kiddush before Chatzos.
That's the Kiddush Club, right in the middle of Chiesa.
So the din starts off then on Rosh Hashanah, there should be an Isa Tainus. In principle, there should be an Isa Tainus, because it's a day on which there is a Chiyav Simcha. Chiyav Simcha means Ein Simcha L'Bebasra, Ein Simcha L'Beyayin. You have to have Leishiks and you have to have Basra B'Yayin, whatever. So the Rishonim, the Goyim have this discussion, maybe Rosh Hashanah, maybe even Shabbos Shuvah, maybe Rosh Hashanah Shechali is B'Shabbos, maybe it's Kedai to fast. Vasep is Kedai to fast. What happened to the Mitzvah of Simcha? So they quote, the Or Zeruah has this, the first piece in Or Zeruah in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. So he says, because there is a din in the Gemara, what if a person has a frightening dream on Friday night? A person went to sleep, and he wakes up and he had a terrifying dream. He had a dream that he's going to die, that his wife is going to die, whatever. Shpiga's going to die is not so good, huh? Whatever. Someone that, something really terrible, that he's really concerned about. So if he ignores it, I don't remember any of my dreams. If he ignores it, so garnish. So he goes on his merry way and you forget about it. But if the person, the Gemara says it depends, if the person takes it to heart and is very concerned, so then the din requires that he has to fast. Then he's mechuyav to fast Tainus Chalav. So not only is this so on a weekday, on a Tuesday night, he had a terrifying dream and he wakes up Wednesday morning and he's frightened, so then he's mechuyav to fast on Wednesday. Not only is that true, be mosachol. The Gemara says, even on Shabbos, if he had such a frightening dream on Friday night, he wakes up Shabbos morning, he's b'chuyif to fast, because yofet tainus l'chalom ke'esh l'noiris, the Gemara says. So just like if you have combustible material and you light a match, the whole room will burn up in a half a minute. It's combustible. So too, if a person had a terrifying chalom and he's afraid it may come true, And he takes it to heart, says he'll fast on that day, so that he'll stand a good chance of burning up the dream. The chalom on the same day. Both are yom, the Gemara says, the chalom. I can fast on Sunday, fast on Monday. The Gemara says, no. On the same day, it's better. So if he'll fast on that day, that's something like a pikuach nefesh, like a suffix pikuach nefesh, something like that. So the Gemara says, you're permitted to fast, you're permitted and obligated. You're permitted and obligated to fast the tainus chalom, even on Shabbos, if the person takes it to heart, if he's nervous about the halal. So what's hertach with yantif? The Gemara never says, what if it was Lil Yantif that he had a terrifying dream? Is he permitted to fast on yantif? Is yantif the same as Shabbos or not? So the Ramah has a commentary on the tour, the Darkei Moshe, on the bottom of the page of the tour. So he quotes that this was a machlokes achreinim, the Maharil, another achreinim from that kufa, from the 1400s, they had a machlokes. Maybe it's only on Shabbos Yontif. Not why? Because on Shabbos there is no Chiyav Simcha. Shabbos is not Nevat L'Shivas. Shabbos is not Nevat L'Shloshim. On Shabbos there's no Chiyav Simcha. There's only a Chiyav Kibud V'Yoinig. So how do you determine what's Oinig? Kibud means all the hachonas that you do in advance for Shabbos and Yontif. And Oinig means what you enjoy on Shabbos. Eating, drinking, and so on. So how does one determine what's Heist Oinig? So the Shulchan Aruch says it's a subjective determination. Whatever you enjoy. It says in Shulchan Aruch, let that person, I haven't met such a person, a person enjoys fasting more than he enjoys eating. I still didn't meet such a... There were people who used to fast every Montag and Donnerstag, and they didn't have any money, they didn't have any food anyway, so they were used to fasting, they enjoyed fasting. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, if a person enjoys fasting more than he enjoys eating, let that person has an upset stomach, and he would prefer to fast on Shabbos rather than to eat. And if he has to eat, he's going to really be forcing himself and he won't enjoy it. So the Sanhedrin Shulchan Aruch isn't there. So fast on Shabbos, so don't eat. If that's Oynik Shalahem, so fast on Shabbos. So some Achrayim say, the Darkei Moshe quotes, the Rambam quotes. Some say, the Gemara says, if a person had this horrifying dream on Friday night, he should fast on Shabbos. Yeah, because on Shabbos there is no Chiyuv Simcha, there's only Chiyuv Oynik, and Oynik is determined subjectively. And today, if it is, normally he enjoys eating better than fasting, but today he would enjoy fasting better than eating, yes, under the circumstances, because he had this frightening dream. But on Yontif there's not only a chiyuv oineg, the din of kibud v'yoneg, the Rambam says applies to Yontif as well. The Gemara seems to say not so, the end of Beitza, but the Rambam writes, and the Shulchan Aruch writes that the din of kibud v'yoneg applies to Yontif also. But on Yontif not only is there a din of oineg, there's also a din of simcha. So maybe simcha is defined objectively. Maybe there's one standard for everybody. You have to eat the bus of a yayin, even if you have to choke on it, whether you enjoy it or not. That's the definition of simcha. Whether you like it or not, you have to have the bus of a yayin. Yeah, that's the shayla. Or let's say, lamashal, a person is very aggravated on Shabbos. Let's say someone died, whatever, he's very aggravated, and he would like to cry in order to get it out of his system, rather than hold everything in. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, he's permitted to cry. If the person enjoys crying under these circumstances, he would prefer to cry. So that's his Einik Shabbos, so let him cry. What about Yontif? So this is really the Shaila. Simchas Yontif should also prohibit cry. But under the circumstances, the person would enjoy crying rather than holding it back. So that's a machlokes, that's the deal in Achrayim, what the deal is. So Allah HaLamayisha, bottom line, we passed in that even a Tainas Chalayim on Yontif you do fast. On Yontif also you fast. Whatever the explanation is. That's Tesis Shaila. If on Shabbos there's no Chiyuv Simcha, and Oynig is defined subjectively, so why doesn't one observe all Avelis? The din is one only observes Avelis Bitzina, Vamsha Bitzina, but Vamsha Befahesia, not night. So Tesis quotes, the Babli doesn't explain. So Tesis quotes from the Talmud, Yerushalmi, that it says, Vayvorech Elokim Asiyam Ashrei Vaykadosh Oso, the end of Vaychulos, it says Vayvorech. So Shabbos is a day of Brocha. And the pasuk says in Mishlei, I think, Birchas Hashem Hitashir, but the Yosef Etzev Imo. So whenever there's Birchas Hashem, you can't have Atzus. So that's a special reason. It's not because of the Simcha. It's not because of the Onik. It's a new concept. Birchas Hashem Hitashir, but the Yosef Etzev Imo. So the Ozeruah quotes all of this. That he starts like this. Mikra Adin Rosh Hashanah, we assume, has a Chiyuv Simcha. So Mikra Adin, there should be an Issa Tainis. Mikra, then you should have to make sure that you eat before Chatzos. Many shuls you don't get to eat. So a lot of people drink a cup of water, a cup of tea, before they go to shul. So even if they don't get finished till 5 o'clock, they didn't fast. They had a cup of water before they daven Shabbos. A lot of people do it every Shabbos because you don't know. The rabbi may decide to hold a long drasha. The chazan may decide to. So that solves the whole problem. You have a drink of water before davening. That solves the whole problem. But the Ozeruah is talking without that solution. So Mikra Adin, really, Rosh Hashanah is a Hazachi of Simcha. And there should be an Isatainis, and it should be prohibited to wait till after Chatzos. However, there were Goyim who used to fast on Rosh Hashanah. And even on Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yisbe Shabbos, there were Goyim who fasted. And even on Shabbos Shuvah, there were also Goyim who fasted. The Torah quotes all of these different some only fasted on Rosh Hashanah, but not on Shabbos. Others fasted even Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yisbe Shabbos, but not on Shabbos Shuvah. Shabbos Shuvah, what is Shabbos Shuvah Shulik? Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah, but Shabbos Shuvah. And others fasted on Shabbos Shuvah also, on all three. 2 days Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos Shuvah they fasted. Different opinions. So what is that all based on? How did they come off the fast? So the Ozeruah says, it starts off with the din of Tainas Chalon. You see that once in a while, we allow you and we require of you that you should fast on Shabbos and even on Yontif. That's the accepted opinion. In Achrayim it's a machlokes, but in Rishayim you don't really fear. They all say that you do fast Tainas Chalayim on Shabbos. It was the Achrayim who raised the possibility of distinguishing. So we say that you do fast the Tainas Chalayim.
On Sunday.
Yeah, the Gemara says if you fast the Tainas Chalayim on Shabbos, then you have to fast again. Yeah. You have to fast again on Sunday, right. but you have to fast on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. So the Ozer Ruah says, so you see that once in a while we do recommend and we require of people that they should fast on a Yom Tov and on a Shabbos. So he says on Rosh Hashanah, Duch Duyoy Madin, so if the person will fast, that's like Hakrovas HaKorban. When a person fasts, he says the Tfilah, the Hirotzen, that Mir Chelbi, the Dummy, I lost a little weight and I lost a little blood from not eating, so that should be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if I had offered a Korban on the Mizbeah. So you stand a better chance of having the Gmar Din L'Toifo. So that's where the practice came from. In the days of the Goyim, they had such a sheetness on Shulchan Aruch, they quote, there were those who used to fast on Rosh Hashanah and on Shabbos Shuvah and on Shabbos Chodesh B'Shavuot. So we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, it's not proper. You're not supposed to fast. But what happens if you know that they're going to daven long? You're not going to get home before 1 o'clock. And Chatzos is about 1 o'clock. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, with respect to this is already a chumrah. That the Yerushalmi says on a day on which you're not supposed to fast Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have to make sure that you don't wait to eat. The Gemara doesn't say that's Talmud Yerushalmi has it. So the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch say, we rely on the opinions of the Gonim, which we really don't follow. They say you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, so we rely on their opinions, b'negeir to that din. So we're not makbid on the Chatzos. So the Mishnah Berurah says, but that's only when Rosh Hashanah falls out on a weekday. But when Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos, then you shouldn't rely. You shouldn't do it, because most of the Goyim held, kimat all the Goyim held, you're not supposed to fast. And other poskim say no. There were Goyim who fasted even on Rosh Hashanah Shechalit Shabbos, even on Shabbos Shuvah. So on these days, you can even on Shabbos Shuvah, you can follow Shuvah. If the rabbi decides to hold a long drasha on Shabbos Shuvah, a few hours, and you don't get home till after Chatzos, so many poskim say Rechid Nishgefelach. But you can follow Shuvah on the day and the Goyim that you can even fast on Shabbos Shuvah. It's like fasting Tainas Chalom. It's that season of the year that it does make sense. Whoever's going to fast, it'll be like a tiny thing. Okay, they eat at night. No, they only fast in the daytime. They don't fast 24 hours. They eat at night time. The Ozer Ruah says what? Oh, so the Ozer Ruah says there are some have a meaning that they fast all Aseres Mei Tshuva. He says in the earlier generations he denies. He says they never had that. He says the original minig was to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And this is later minhagim, to fast on Rosh Hashanah, to fast on Shabbos Shuvah, these are later minhagim. And then to fast on Aseres Mei Tshuva, and to fast on the first day of Slichas, these are later minhagim. He says the original old minig was to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah, based on the Pasuk that says by Yom Kippur. It doesn't say by Rosh Hashanah, the Pasuk says by Yom Kippur, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, before you enter into Rosh Hashanah. The pasuk happens to be talking about before Yom Kippur. And every Yom Kippur there's a mitzvah to eat, not a mitzvah to fast. But the pasuk means before you enter Yom Kippur, you should cleanse yourself, you should purify yourself. So there it means you should say vidui before Yom Kippur. Not just say vidui on Yom Kippur. The Ramban says that pasuk, Lifnei Hashem, the Torah is the source that you have to recite vidui in Mincha. Mincha on every Yom Kippur, before the day enters, before you mekabel kedusha sayam of Yom Kippur, to Toru, you should cleanse yourself. So the Ozer Ruah quotes, he claims that the original minig of fasting this season of the year really was an Erev Yom Kippur, an Erev Rosh Hashanah, Dasya, Lefnei Hashem Tetar, before entering into the Kedusha Sayyid.
One makes Tshuva.
Yeah, some say that's the reason, yeah. That the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and Erev Yom Kippur and Shabbos Shuvah, you're not allowed to fast. That's the accepted opinion. Not allowed to fast. Then you want to fast 10 days. That's Erev Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur you fast, and some Gedalia you fast, but you're missing 4 days that you don't fast. So some say that's the reason why they introduced Slichas before, that these to fast each day of Slichas. Yeah, these are later. These are later Minhagim. There's a Ruach claims that the original meaning was only Erev Rosh Hashanah, and the minig are going to fast the different minhagim. Yes, to fast, not to fast on Rosh Hashanah, on Shabbos Shuvah. These were later. He said the original minig started Erev Rosh Hashanah.
And fasting Erev Rosh Hashanah is like fasting the whole year, the tshuva for the whole past year.
Yeah, that's what they say.
It should be wrong to make the tradition of the Shabbos and having a bite in order to avoid the tannus, especially on Shabbos when there is no tshuva. Some people don't want to.
Yeah, the Gemara says in Brachis, you're not permitted to go home and have a whole meal before Musaf, to have a regular meal. Yeah, but to Ima, to have a little Kiddush club, to have a little, just to make Kiddush, and to have a little Mezayna, so Mikra Din, that's permissible. So you may have. Well, let's see. No, he spoke about, what about on Rosh Hashanah, Shchalis B'Shabbos, but there's no Tkiyah Shofar. So strictly speaking, even before, how do you know you're not allowed to eat before Tkiyus? Because the Mishnah says in Sukkah that you're not allowed to eat before Netilas Lulav. So we assume it applies to any mitzvah. That's why some Rishonim say the reason why the Chassan fasts is because he's preparing to do the mitzvah of getting married. So he's not supposed to eat that day, not Torah. You shouldn't forget to do your mitzvah. He may forget to march down the aisle. So we want to make sure he doesn't forget, so he should concentrate, so he's not going to forget. If you tell him you're not allowed to eat until after you take care of your thing, until after you take care of your mitzvah, so we know that he will run. He will run to the chuppah. Or if a father has to see to it that his son has a bris, so many pastors say the father shouldn't eat before he takes care of the bris. He's going to eat before the bris, he's going to take his time, he's going to have all the time in the world. We want to make sure to encourage him, so we tell him don't eat until you have the bris. And some say by Pidyon HaBen also like that. You're not supposed to eat the day you're supposed to take care of Pidyon HaBen. Shouldn't eat until you have the Pidyon HaBen. Unless they have many communities that do the Pidyon HaBen late in the afternoon. So, yeah, then you don't tell them to fast the whole day. I'll be Pashtus. But more correct would be to do the Pidyon HaBen at a more reasonable hour in the morning, sorry, after Shacharis. So then the post can say it's not proper to eat before. So that halacha that you're not allowed to eat before Netilas Lulav, and we assume you're not allowed to eat before Tkiyas Shofar and so on, strictly speaking, that means also a whole meal. You're not allowed to have a meal. Let's say you're not allowed to eat before Ma'ariv. You're not permitted to eat before Ma'ariv. So many Paschim say, but Te'ima is mutter, just to have a little snack. If the person is going to eat supper, he may forget to eat his meal or to go take a nap, fall asleep, and then he'll forget to daven Ma'ariv, forget to say Kriya Shema. So we tell him, don't eat your supper yet. So if he's going to just have a little snack, he's still hungry. So he's not going to forget about, he's not going to go fall asleep and forget about eating supper. He may forget about mine, but he's not going to forget about supper. So Kozman, we tell him, he's not allowed to eat supper, so he's going to remember to daven Ma'ariv. So the Pashto says that te'ima is mutter. Some poskim hold that you're not allowed to have te'ima before Ma'ariv, a different reason why. Like before Shacharis, you're not allowed to eat. Not allowed to eat stama snack, because lo sochel al adam, you're not allowed to eat anything before you daven Shacharis. Unless you need it to enhance your davening, let's say a person doesn't feel well. And if he'll have something to drink or something to eat, he'll be able to daven much better. This will enable him to daven. So the eating that he's doing is not lo tzarach atzma, it's to enhance his davening. So then it says in Shulchan Aruch, then he's permitted to eat. Yeah, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that's what he says, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, and that's Tamach Gimel, Lo sochla ladam is a very difficult pasuk. We're not sure what it means. So the Gemara has about seven levels of interpretation in the pasuk, and we accept all of them. So one of the interpretations the Gemara gives is lo sochlu, you're not allowed to eat a meal kodim shetispalalu al dimchem, before you daven. So some pasukim hold that din applies both Shacharis and Ma'ariv. You're not allowed to eat anything before Shacharis. You're not allowed to eat anything before Ma'ariv, even a snack, even a tea. No. The beginning of this month, beginning of the news month. So mincha, you're allowed to eat. No, you're not allowed to eat a meal that you may forget to eat. Mincha, go to a chasana, bar mitzvah, it's going to take a few hours, that's not proper. But to have tima, that's mut. The Meiri has a comment on that shaila. Meiri in Bava Metzia has a comment on that. So he says, the Rambam's opinion is that the chiyuv tefillah is once a day, every day min haTorah. You mechiyuv to daven once a day. So he says, according to the Rambam, that there's a chiyuv tefillah once a day, every day, so it's possible to understand that this is a din d'oraisa, that you're not allowed to eat in the morning before you daven Shacharis. He says, but most of the Rishonim hold that there's no chiyuv tefillah once a day, every day. Only on rare occasions when the person is beis tzara, when the person realizes that he has a major problem. But when everything is going smoothly, he has no problems, everybody's healthy, he has his parnos, everything is going well. So then there's no chiyuv tefillah. So he's not allowed to eat before he daven. Not chiyuv to daven. How can he say he's not allowed to eat before he daven? So the Niri says, if you hold that tefillah is only the rabbanim, but kriya shma is deraisa. So he says the pasuk will be deraisa, but he get the kriya shma. It will be an isa deraisa that you're not allowed to eat before you say kriya shma. Shabbos, what does that have to do with daven?
Yeah.
How does that fit in with the pasuk? This palav dimchem episode fits in a little bit. Maybe it's a drasha deraisa, but you're not allowed to eat before you say kriya shma. I don't know, but that's what the Niri writes, whether it's a
there. Like
say Krishna before, then you would be allowed to eat? Okay.
Yeah.
Then.
Okay. The day you have to do a mitzvah, you're not allowed to eat. Let's say a moyo. He has to go in the afternoon to do a bris someplace, or every day. So he's not allowed to eat that day? Because
no, I don't think so. It's not his chiyuv. He's doing a taiva to the other one. The one is mechiyuv to do the mitzvah. One, he does it as a parnasa, but the father, the Avi Aben, the one is mechuyev to do the mitzvah, so we have to make sure that he doesn't forget. The moel, if he forgets, he's gone. they'll get another one. Yeah, he is the shliach, but he's still not mechuyif to do. He's not mechuyif to do. He's doing a taiva for the other one. He's doing a taiva. So mikra din, the din really should be that before tkiyus, you're not allowed to have a whole meal, but taima should be mutter. Taima should be mutter. So that's why many yeshivas they have a kiddush before tkiyus, because they always made a kiddush. Yeah. And for many, many years, Rav Henkin was a great poisik in New York City. Before Moshe came, Rav Henkin was the famous poisik. So he always used to insist that you're not allowed to make kiddush before the tkiyus. So whenever whenever all the big rabbanim, the European rabbanim, would visit him from Rosh Chodesh El Alan, he used to be in charge of Ezra Story. He used to be in charge of a lot of tzedakah money. So they all spoke to him. So whenever he would meet one of the elder rabbanim, he would give them mussar and make sure that the yeshiva doesn't make kiddush before tkiyus. And he used to recommend they should make kiddush after tkiyus, before musaf. He says you're not allowed to be mafsik then. You're not allowed to be mafsik. So he said that's only a chumrah. Mikra then you are allowed to be mafsik. So he preferred they should make
kiddush afterwards.
They should make kiddush in between the first tkiyus and the tfilas musaf. His opinion was never accepted. So after he passed away, he has a grandson who's a colorful personality. His grandson, he died at the age of 95, whatever. He was ancient when he died. So he had a grandson as a young fellow. So his grandson used to meet the same rabbanim who were now 85 years old, and he used to continue to give them the musa. He's 25 years old, he would give them the musa. Now the grandson is getting on. The grandson must be around 60 already. So he's still giving everybody the musa from his grandfather. He arshin the musa from the grandfather. So he tells everybody they should make kiddush in between the tkiyas and the musaf. But the minig in all the yeshivas is that they make kiddush before tkiyas, because mikra din, it's only te'ima. So there's no isa. The isa is to have a regular meal. If you operate them right like that, but even though we don't accept the opinion that you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, we paskin, it's not proper, you should eat. But since there are significant opinions that you've committed to fast, maybe even obligated to fast, like a Tainus Chaloim, so b'diyevet, if somebody forgot Yalav Yavah, we wouldn't tell them that they should bench a second time. We'll say that b'diyevet, the suffix bracha l'batova. If it falls on Shabbos, then it's even a slimmer, even many goyim who said they would fast on Rosh Hashanah would not fast on Rosh Hashanah Shchodesh B'Shan. Many of them would, they would even fast on Shabbos Shuvah. But it's fewer. So that's why the many paskim say, like the Mishnah Berurah says, when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, you should make sure you do eat before Chatzot. You shouldn't follow us on any, shouldn't rely on these goyim. And if you b'dievet, you would forget to say Yalav Yavah, then they would recommend you should bench over again. Yeah, on Shabbos. That's what the later paskim say, right? That this idea of fasting, the Rebbe's idea of fasting on Rosh Hashanah, is only the daytime. On Leil Rosh Hashanah, everybody's masking that you're not allowed to fast, that you have to eat. So if you forgot Yalav Yalav Balayla, so many say that you would have to repeat the bench. Right. Okay, that's a very good point. That's a good point. The Gemara says if you forget Yalav Yalav and davening, and Rosh Chodesh, you have to daven over. So what would you say by benching? That's a good question. There could be. That's a good question. This year, of course, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow shofar. And the maskana of the Gemara is that this is only a takana mid rabbanim. It's not a din min haTorah. Min haTorah, we really are obligated to blow shofar, but the Chachamim required of us that we should not fulfill the mitzvah. Yeah. Okay. It describes it as a very jolly day. Very jolly day.
That's not the halacha.
Doesn't require that. That was the practice that they had. That they used to meet the girls and shidduchim and everything. So that's a shaila.
One girl came out of the Kodesh HaKadosh, no?
On Yom Kippur.
Out on Yom Kippur. So they have tremendous simcha. It turned around.
Okay. Okay.
The gazadim was already over.
Okay, but can you necessarily... Can you necessarily prove from the practice that they had, they used to have such a jolly celebration, a singles function, every Yom Kippur had a single function where they met and they read Shiduchim. Does that necessarily indicate that on Yom Kippur there's a Chiv Simcha? Oh no, that was the practice. They were happy Yom Kippur, whatever. It doesn't. I don't know if it necessarily indicates that there's a Chiv Simcha. On Tu B'Av there's no Chiv Simcha. It's a practice that they had. So maybe the Yom Kippur was also a very common practice for many years, not necessarily indicating that it's required mitzvah halacha. The Gemara has a whole discussion, a whole list of cases. Yeah. Okay. Usually, we're used to thinking of the Chachamim making chumris, making gzeiris. That min haTorah you're permitted to carry in a Carmelis on Shabbos, you're not permitted to carry in a Mishus HaRabim. But in a Carmelis, that's a little gesalach, not a big thoroughfare, not talking a big highway. A little street in a little village, so that's only a Carmelis. So min haTorah you're allowed to carry. In the Rabbanon, they prohibit you from carrying in a Carmelis. They prohibit you from doing a malach on Shabbos, kalach hayad. Min haTorah if a person writes with his left hand, person is a righty. Right, with his left hand, and our third is no malacha. But the Rabbanah they prohibit. They introduce many, many chumras from the Rabbanah. So we're used to thinking that that's the authority that was given to the Chachamim. The Pasuk says in Chumash, Shmartam es Mishmarti, at the end of Parshas Achrimah is the last Pasuk, Asum Mishmeris le Mishmarti, the Chachamim are required to introduce hachokis and siogim and gzeris to protect people, to prevent people from violating others. But the question is, do they have the authority to tell us to violate a mitzvah? So they have the right to tell us, don't blow shofar, don't shake a lulav. They tell us, don't put on tefillin on the second day yontif. Don't put on tefillin on the second day yontif. And Eretz Yisrael, everybody's putting on, oh, they're not. They said, we don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, but let's say the last day yontif, So I mean, I tell you, you have to put on tefillin. So the Chachamim invented a yontif, Sheni Shel Golias, and because of this takana, they tell us we're forbidden to put on tefillin. Or many cases like that, the Gemara has. Sometimes they tell a person, Erev Pesach, do not bring a Korban Pesach. He's mechuyev min haTorah to bring a Korban Pesach. The Chachamim don't allow him. So the Gemara says this is quite a chiddush. That yesh kerach v'yad Chachamim, even laka dovim min haTorah, even to tell you to violate one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. So that's a discussion in the Gemara. How far does their authority go? Let's say there's a woman who's married and the husband ran off with a shiksa secretary and he doesn't want to give his wife a get. And that's nebach habit rachmanis on the wife. She's an aguna. So do the rabbis have the authority to permit the rabbis are afraid that the Balabatim live so far away from the synagogue on Long Island, they're going to lose their Jewish identity. So the rabbi paskens, you're allowed to drive to shul on Shabbos and on Yom Tov in order to maintain Jewish identity. So we say the rabbis do not have authority. The authority of the rabbis is restricted. Why is it restricted? But here they went and they did it. They told us to violate the mitzvahs in the Torah. They tell you don't blow shofar and don't shake a lulav. And don't bring a Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach has kares. Don't bring a Korban Pesach. So Manish Tana, why is it different? Why is it different over here? The Gemara says, Yesh kach v'yachachamim. They have the authority even to tell you to violate mitzvahs in the Torah. So the Gemara draws a distinction. The Gemara says, no. By lulav, they tell you not to keep a mitzvah. By shofar, they tell you don't do a mitzvah. By Korban Pesach, they tell you don't do a very important mitzvah. But they can't tell you to do an avera. They can't tell you, we permit you to be Mechal Shabbos, to drive a car. To maintain Jewish identity, they can't allow you. They can't allow you an Eishes Ish to go remarry. That's a loisese, loisinah. Yesh koach lako bekum v'yasei, yesh koach lako b'shei v'altase. They tell you not to fulfill one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, but ain't koach lako bekum v'yasei. So the conservatives always quote from Hillel that he made a prusbul. This year is a shmita coming out. So what is a prusbul? The din is men haTorah. When shmita comes to a close. When the year of Shemitah is over, that's next September. When the Shemitah year is over, so all debts are cancelled. If somebody owes me money, I'm not permitted to ask him to pay me. It says in the Chumash, it's an Avera, Lo Yigos Esre'ehu V'yasochiv Kikora Shemitah L'Hashem. You're not allowed to ask the guy for the money. So Hillel made a takana. which is not min ha-teira, he made a takana plausible. So what's the bottom line? He allows me to violate an aveira in the chumash. So it says in the chumash, you're not allowed to ask him for the money. Hil gemachta dreidel, you're allowed to ask him for the money. So the conservative rabbis always quote, you see that yesh koach lakra afilu v'kum v'yasei. If Hillel was allowed, if Hillel would be alive today, he would permit all of these agunas to remarry, and he would permit all the people to drive to shul on Shabbos and on Yontif. You see that Hillel holds you have authority even lakra v'kum v'yasei. So this is a very good question. And the first one who asked this good question that the conservatives posed is the Talmud. The Gemara asked the question in more than one place. The whole sukkah about this. It's not that it was discovered in the 20th century. The Gemara talks about this. So the Gemara gives two explanations as to how this works. The Gemara does not assume that Hillel holds that the rabbis have authority, even lako bikum yaseh. The Gemara says either the takana of Pruzbul of Hillel only applies at a time that Shemitah is only midirabbanan. Today, the whole observance of Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael is only with the Rabbanan. If Shemitah would have been today, min ha-Torah, there wouldn't be what to discuss about the Het HaMechira. There wouldn't be anything to fight about. You have to have something to fight about. So the whole issue is because the whole Shemitah b'zman hazeh is only with the Rabbanan. For various reasons, the Shemitah is only with the Rabbanan. Yeah. So the Gemara gives one suggestion. Maybe the Takana that Hillel made, that if you make a pruzbul, then we allow you to the malva to pressure the loiva to pay up the money, even though the shmita came to a close, and he's an outright violation of the pasuk lo yigos. Maybe the answer is he's not an outright violation of the pasuk; he's in violation of a din derabbanan. The whole shmita b'zman hazeh is only b'derabbanan. But when Mashiach that kumen and the shmita will be there, I said, then the whole pruzbul institution will collapse. So that's one opinion in the Gemara, and half of the Rishonim paskan like that. Rambam paskins like that, that Pruzbul only works bizman hazeh, during that period of time that Shemitah is only with the Rabbanah. Once Shemitah will become deraisa, the mayor will be amena, then the Pruzbul will not work. And the other suggestion, the Gemara has two answers, Abai v'Rabbi. The other suggestion the Gemara gives is also that Hillel doesn't disagree with us. Hillel holds also, the Chachamim do not have authority to permit you to violate an aver. They've only given authority to tell you not to fulfill a mitzvah sesei. But now, no authority to violate aver. So the other suggestion the Gemara gives is that the Pruzbul is a takana in the area of dini mominus. Whenever you have a din that's in the area of dini mominus, there's a simple solution how to do away with the din. You just make a declaration, hefker bezn hefker. It's a very simple mechanism. The Torah says that after Shemitah comes to a close, the lovid doesn't owe the money to the malve anymore. So you're not allowed to check to him. You're not allowed to ask him to pay. He doesn't tell you the money. So with the Rabbanan, they said, Hefke Bezna Hefke. Bezna has the right to say, your money is mine. They can say, my money is his. They can say, your tie belongs to him. They have to have a good reason. Stam Meshugah and Meshugah Zedan, they have no right to say. But if they have a good cause, so they can say, Hefke Bezna Hefke. So the Gemara says, the other explanation is, they had a valid reason, so they made a takana that even though min ha-Torah the lovid does not owe the money to the malve, Shemitah cancels the debt, but the Rabbanon Hefke Bez Nefke, they said the lovid does owe the money to the malve. Once you say they change the money, they say the lovid does owe money, so the malve is allowed to ask for the money. He's asking for money that the Chachamim gave him the right to ask for, the halvoah that he lent that's gone and forgotten. Shemitah came to an end, that's goodbye. But the Chachamim made a new din. He owes him the money anyway. Even though the Shemitah cancelled the Havur, the Chachamim said he owed him the money because he once owed him money. He made a Takana deal. If you say it's based on Hefke Bez Nefke, then the Pruzbul institution, the Pruzbul Takana, can continue to function even after Mashiach will come. Even when Shemitah will be there, Isa, the Pruzbul will still work. So the Gemara explains this. The Gemara asked the question, how did Hillel make a Pruzbul? And the Gemara explains that it's not a violation of this rule.
Why was it
the Gemara seems to imply that in the days of Hillel, the problem became more acute. The problem was Nimnu Ha'om Milahalvois. The people didn't want to lend any money because they saw that they were going to be losing their money. Their life was not going to pay back. And that Nimnu Ha'om Milahalvois is a violation. It says in the Chumash that you're not allowed to withhold from lending money to the one who needs it because you're concerned that the Shemitah year is going to come. So Hillel saw that in his generation that probably came more acute.
In that time, yeah. Before, maybe more agricultural people didn't borrow so much money.
Probably. Yeah. So during his lifetime, he saw that this aver is being violated commonly. So that's what prompted him to make the takana.
Why were all these technically built?
That's a good question. The Gemara answers in many places. The Gemara doesn't discuss it here, but the Pashtun says it's covered in other places. The Gemara says, called the Tikkur Rabbanon, Kein Deraisa Tikkun. They try to pattern all the Dinim Rabbanon, as many as possible, along the lines of Dinim Min HaTorah. So Tosis explains that there is a Din Min HaTorah of Moses Deraisa Lebezim. There is such a Din on the books. So Hillel made a Takana that this should be considered Kiilu. He was Moses Deraisa Lebezim. He really didn't. He really didn't do Moses Teresa, but that's a Kein Deraisa Tikkun. And then they wanted to make it that it should be Kegovi Domi, so the Loiva has to have Karka. If he doesn't have Karka, it doesn't work. So what do you do if the Loiva doesn't have any Karka? So you makna Karka to him, based on the principle of Zach Liyadah Shleibifana. Tutim HaTayveh. But he makna the Karka to him, you're fixing his wig and you're ruining him. So it also doesn't work, but it looks like Zach Liyadah Shleibifana. So they did a few parts to the Takana Prusbul. Overall, the whole thing is Midirabbanon, but several steps of the way are Kein Deraisa Tikkun. That is Kein Deraisa Moses Deraisa Lebezin. It's Kein Deraisa of Zach Miyadim Shleibifana, but it really isn't, the Ran and Gittin says, because you're not doing a Metoiva. It's not as clear. The guy's going to scream. He doesn't want that Karaka. And the whole idea that he has to have Karaka, that it should be Kegovi Domi, that it shouldn't be a violation of Leigos. It's considered as if it's Kegovi Domi. So they made it as much as possible that it should be Kein Deraisa.
Did he reverse this on the Loiva if he had volunteered to pay back?
No, the Gemara says the proper thing is that the Loiva should volunteer. The Loiva should volunteer to give back the money, and when he gives back the money, the Malva should not take it, he should say Mishamitani.
Yeah.
And when the Malva says Mishamitani, then the Loiva should be a gentleman and say, Afal Pichain. I insist I do want to give it, and that should be the end of the story. He should say, I insist I do want to give it. He should take it. The Loiva should give it, and the Malva should take it.
The whole thing.
Yeah. The Gemara learns that out from the Pesukim. It says, "V'zed dvar hashmita." So the simple translation is that this is the matter, the issue of the shmita. So the Gemara darshins many times when it says dvar, the Gemara understands it as dibur. "V'zed dibur hashmita." This is the conversation that should take place regarding shmita. The Gemara has quite a few Pesukim where they darshin the word dvar as if it says dibur. The Mishnah says that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, Bamigdash Hayatokin, Avalai Bamadina, in the Beis Hamigdash, they would blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos. Outside of the Beis Hamigdash, that's called the Medina, they wouldn't. The rest of Medina is so they wouldn't. But in the Beis Hamigdash, they would. How do you define Beis Hamigdash? How rigid is your definition? In the Azara, so the Rambam in one place, the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, quotes, there's one opinion in Yerushalmi like that, it's not his, the Rambam of Pirush HaMishnayos quotes an opinion that the whole Ir Atika, the whole old city, is considered Bamigdash HaYotokin. So about 100 years ago or so, there was an Ungarish Rav who moved from Europe to Eretz Yisrael. I think his name was Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger. No, he was the son-in-law of Hillel Kalamaya, of Hillel Lichtenstein. So he had this as Yadua. He lived in the Ir Atika, and he blew Shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechali is B'Shamas.
Nobody
his opinion was not accepted. Yeah, and then years later, they didn't let the Jews live in the Ir Atika. After the Mechemet HaShechrur, they chased out all the Jews. They killed everybody, they chased out all the Jews. So after Mechemet Sheshet Hayamim, when they got back the old city, so then the Shaila came up. I think the first Rosh Hashanah, after Mechemet Sheshet Hayamim, Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. So the Shaila was the first year, should they blow Shofar? And the old city, should they follow this Rambam's opinion in the Pirush HaMishnayos? In the Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam does not quote that. In the Pirush HaMishnayos, he quotes that there's one opinion in the Yerushalmi that the whole old city is called Bamigdush. Bamigdush HaYotokin. So I remember we were in Yeshiva then, in Rav Soloveitchik's class, so he said that that's utterly ridiculous. They didn't tell him Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger did it. They just asked, Anaya Shaila Mechodesh, now that we have the old city, maybe we should follow the Rambam and blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah Chalis B'Shabbos. So he said that it's wrong. He said the whole cheshbon is wrong. He says, why does Halacha allow you? They made exerim at the Rabbanan that you're not allowed to blow Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on our Shabbos because they're afraid someone may be Mechal Shabbos. Somebody may forget and carry the shofar. So because we're afraid that some Jew may carry the shofar, we don't allow anybody, even the biggest tzaddik, we don't allow anybody in the world to blow shofar on Hashanah Shechali is b'Shabbos. So why is it Migdosh? Why do we allow it? So we usually assume Moira HaMigdosh and the Beis HaMigdosh people have such a higher degree of Yira Shamayim. It says that you eat Ma'is Sheni in Yerushalayim until Mad Liyiras Hashem Alakecho. So Taisus and Tainus quotes the Sifrei on that pasuk, L'mantil Mad Liyiras Hashem Alakecho. It's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh that if the person, I remember once I was sitting in the old city by in the home of a friend, we were sitting and eating and we saw the Kaisla Maravi in front of us. So the woman told us, whenever her husband is away learning something, so sometimes she plays cards, solitaire, whatever, what do you call it? She plays cards, then she looks out the window. She says she starts to sit there somewhere. How can she play cards looking at it? She can't watch television. When she's in America, she watches television. She plays cards. She does whatever. But you look out the window, you see the Kaisel Maravi. How can you do that? So that's the pasuk. You should eat the Ma'aseh Sheni Yerushalayim. L'man Tilma, L'Yiras Hashem Lakecha. You should have more Yiras Hashemayim. And there's a special mitzvah, U'migdoshi Tiro. You should have not Moira from the Migdosh. Moira from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. When you're in the Beis HaMikdosh, the Yiras Hashemayim should be enhanced. In fact, we have a din in the Gemara. Whenever there's a conflict between a mitzvah sese and a mitzvah loise sese, the only way to fulfill a mitzvah is by violating an avera. So normally we have a rule, esse deicha loise esse, we learn that from a pasuk. If the only way to do the mitzvah is by violating the avera, you're permitted and obligated, that's how most learn, you're permitted and obligated. Some pasukim say it's optional, but that's not the pasuk b'shat in Gemara. Hosta brer, if you want, you can do the mitzvah. If you don't want, you don't have to. Some galatian achrenim write like that. But the pasuk b'shat is not like that. Pasuk b'shat is esse deicha loise esse, you're mechuyev to do the mitzvah and to violate the avera. The exception to the rule is in the Beis HaMikdosh. The Gemara has a klal in Tzvachim, Ein Esei Decha Loisese Sheba Migdosh. And Beis HaMikdosh, the Esei is not Decha Loisese. How come? Why should it be different? Beis HaMikdosh and Chutz, the Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. Why should it be different? Rabbi Yosef Engel has in one of his drushes, and that's his Yosef, he has a beautiful explanation. So he quotes the Ramban on Chumash, on Parshas Yisro, on the Aseres Adibas, on Zohar V'Shomer. So the Ramban writes, Zohar V'Shomer are very different. He says, Zohar is a mitzvah seseh, and Shomer is a loy seseh. Don't do malachas. Hashem HaShabbos is a person that doesn't do malachas on Shabbos. Zohar means, say Kiddush, should have a Shabbos-dik atmosphere, positive things. Zohar is a mitzvah seseh, positive things, and Shomer is a loy seseh. So Ramban goes a little bit to a discussion there of mitzvah seseh and mitzvah loy seseh, what the difference is. So he says, all the mitzvah seseh stem from the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, a person should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go out of his way to do things kevayochel to make the Rebbeinu Shalom happy, to please the Rebbeinu Shalom. And all the loisas stem from Yiras Hashem. You're not allowed to do anything that will anger the Rebbeinu Shalom. He doesn't want you to do these things, so don't do. So which of these two mitzvahs is more important, Ahavas Hashem or Yiras Hashem? So the Ramban says that generally speaking, Ahavas Hashem is on a higher madrega. Oved Me'yavo is a greater madrega than Oved Me'yiras. It's a very important madrega to be Ovid Meira, but a higher than that is to be Ovid Me'ahava. So the Ramban writes on Chumash, he thinks that that's the reason why Esed Decha Loisese, on the Pasuk of Zohar, and Parshas Yisro, and Aseres Adibros, he says because Avas Hashem is on a higher madrega than Yiras Hashem, so that's why Mitzvah Sese is always Decha Loisese, because Mitzvah Sese stems from Avas Hashem, and Loisese stems from Yiras Hashem. So if Yosef Engel says, yeah, Bamed Bamamurim, and the rest of the world. But in Beis HaMikdosh, U'migdoshi Tiro, you should emphasize the Madrega of Yiras Hashem, not the Madrega of Avas Hashem. So that's why Yesa is not. Alois Yesa is Deicha the Yesa, not the Yesa is Deicha the Alois Yesa. You should accept the explanation of the Ramban, and it follows logically that in Beis HaMikdosh it doesn't apply. So usually we assume that the reason why in Beis HaMikdosh you're permitted to blow shofar from a Rosh Hashanah is Choli is B'Shabbos, because it's going to be under such a spell of Yiras Hashem, we don't have to be afraid that he's going to do any of it. He's not going to carry, he's not going to forget. L'mam tilma the Yiras Hashem alakecho. So the Rav pointed out that that's not the pshat. That's not the reason why. Because the Gemara says, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Sanhedrin used to be in the Lishkas HaGozis. And then after a while, even before the Churban Bayis Sheni, 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, they left. But they were still located near Yerushalayim. Then later, before the Churban Bayis Sheni, later they had already moved to Yavne. So once, on one occasion, Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, and they had a shaila in Yavne, should they blow shofar or not? Bamigdash are you taking the base? Bamigdash they blew shofar because you don't have to be afraid. But in Yavne you also blow shofar. So Rabbi Yechem and Zakat Paskin, yes, you do blow shofar. Why? Wherever the Bez Nagadol is, you blow shofar. Where did he get that from? Wherever the Bez Nagadol is. So the Rav said, you see from the Gemara, from the whole discussion in the Gemara, that the original takana Bamigdash are you taking is not because they're going to tzitter from the base Bamigdash. They're going to tzitter from the Bez Nagadol. Is a din as Hashem alakech atir the rabbis talmid hachamim. You have to have moira from the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and S is marbe the big talmid hachamim, not a plain rabbi, not Rabbi Muvok. So if you have a bezin of 71 rabbanim, the gedolei hatorah of the whole generation, so there's a real mitzvah of moira to have moira from this rabbanim. So you see, the Gemara assumes that they're going to tzitter from the bezin agolam, not they're going to tzitter from the base hamigdash migdashi tiro. That's not what's going to prevent them from sinning. No, the Moira from the Rabbonim is going to prevent them. It's going to prevent them from sinning. So that's why Yechaman Zaka says, when the Bez Nagodol moves to Yavne, the Zalbedin, it's a Bez Nagodol. They're going to sit to the Balabatim in the presence of the Bez Nagodol. Will have such an awareness of Shmiras and Mitzvot. They're going to sit there. They're not going to be Mechal Shav. You have to be afraid. It's not. They're going to have more Moira from the Rabbonim Shalom in the presence of the Rabbonim than they'll have in the Bez Hamikdash. That's what he's evening was. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. He said, what are you talking about? Fine, the holy Eratikas, Kitchelothi Lava has Kedushas Hamigdash, and there's a Tosalam Aravi. But that was never the reason in the first place why Hamigdash are you taking. The reason why was because the Bez Nagadol, all the Rabbanim said, we don't have any Bez Nagadol now. What is there to discuss? The exception to the rule of Hamigdash are you taking has to do with the Bez Nagadol. So if there's no Bez Nagadol, there's nothing to discuss. He says, the one who says not so is the Ravid. That's what he used to. Every so often he would point out, the Ravid has a commentary on the bottom of the Rif. So in one place in Sukkah, the Ravid writes, why is Bamigdash HaYitokin Avaloi Bamdina? So he doesn't say because of Meirah HaMigdash, and he doesn't say because of Meirah HaRabbonim, even though that's the Pashup Shat in the Gemara. Meirah, they're going to tzitter from the Bez Nagadol, so it doesn't matter. Echad Yavne, Echad Kamachim, Sheisham Bez, doesn't matter. Beis HaMigdash, Yavne, wherever the Sanhedrin is, they're going to tzitter. The Ravid writes in Gans in a different time. The Rabbi writes that Kiya Shoif on the Beis Hamikdash is more explicit than the Chumash. The Chachamim have a right to make a Takana de Rabbanon. Okay, let's say they make a din, you're not allowed to write with your left hand. It doesn't really say the Pharisee that you are allowed to write with your left hand. We derive it from in between the lines. That Minatari, you're allowed to write with your left hand. You're allowed to carry the Carmelis. All these dinim, Carmel is not so explicit. So since it's not the Pharisee, the Rabbanim have a right to be Machmeh. But can they make a takana? Can they make a din de rabbanan? Can they get what's mafurush in the pasuk? So that's what you say that the Taz has. Taz has a famous kasha. Why did the rabbanim only prohibit kiyah shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? Because they're concerned someone's going to carry. They should have prohibited all kiyah shofar. It's a musical instrument. You're not allowed to play a piano on Shabbos. You're not allowed to play a harp. They made a gzera de rabbanan. You're not allowed to play any musical instrument. It may break. Shemi Yisak can play shir. Maybe you're off key. And he'll tune it and he'll fix it. That's a malacha. So they should have forbidden Tkiyah Shofar on Shabbos. It's a mashmiya kol. It's a form of hashmos kol. Let's see, you're allowed to use a whistle. You're allowed to blow a trumpet. You're not allowed to blow a trumpet on Shabbos Yonta. So Shofar, the same thing as a trumpet. So the Taz answers, then you can't do it on Yom Tov either. So that's his kasha. So why didn't they do away with the whole Tkiyah Shofar? So he says they can't do that. You can't do that. Says Beferis, you have to blow Shofar. It never says explicitly that you have to blow Shofar even when Rosh Hashanah falls on our Shabbos. It's self understood. Why not? Of course you blow Shofar even when Rosh Hashanah falls on our Shabbos. But it doesn't say explicitly. So therefore the Chachamim have room to make Gzeira D'Rabbanan, and they don't allow you. But they're going to be Oiker and Gans in the whole Din Chumash of Tkiyah Shofar. That they can't do. So along the lines of that Taz, that's what this Ravid writes. The Ravid writes that they blew Shofar and Migdash, my Rosh Hashanah Cholis B'Shabbos, neither Pshat that we said before. Not because of Moira HaMigdash they'll sit that they won't be Mechal Shabbos, and not because from Moira HaBezn, not they're going to sit from the Rabbonim and they're not going to be Mechal Shabbos in their vicinity. No, he says because the Iker Mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar, as it appears in the Chumash, is only in the Beis HaMigdash. The pasuk speaks about Kiyah Shofar in conjunction with Hakrovas Hakabonis. V'yom Simchaschem v'layadechem v'rosh v'chadshechem v'skaitem v'chadsoitzer v'tzalo l'osechem v'alziv chesalmechem v'niskaitem l'fnei Hashem elakechem. The pasuk in Bahaloscha. So the Chumash speaks about chadsoitzer v'tzal Shofar, The Chatzaitz is Vikol Shofar Hariyah Lefnei Melech Hashem. You have Chatzaitz and Shofar in conjunction with Hakrovas Hakarbonos. So the Rabbi thinks that that's the reason why. That's what's very difficult. So after the Beis HaMikdash was Chorer, even before when the Beis HaMikdash was in Yavne, so how did Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakkai make a Tzushtel? He said, yeah, you're allowed to blow Shofar now, just like you were allowed to blow Shofar last year. Last year was in the presence of the Beis HaMikdash in conjunction with Hakrovas Hakarbonos. What has it got to do with the Beis HaMikdash in Yavne? That's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. The Pasha Pshat in the Gemara doesn't seem to follow the Ravid's opinion. The Ravid is a little difficult for him. As a Chiddush, they didn't want to make a gzeira against the Iker Din of Tkiya Shofar as seems to be described by the Chumash, which means Tkiya al Karbonis, Tkiya al Seder Karbonis, in conjunction with the Karbonis. No. The Rabbi writes, "Men atari yimachliv to blow shofar even in America," but he says the pshuta shal mikra only goes on karbonis. Where does it say? Yom tru yalechem doesn't say. He quotes the other pasuk. Yom simchas mradech rasha chashech miskaita machatzis alor lasechem. So you see that there's such a thing as kiyas in conjunction with karbonis. That's over there in Bahaloscha. So he thinks that this pasuk also that says Yom tru yalechem zichron trua. The pshuta, he thinks the pshuta shal mikra really refers to karbonis, and it also chiddush nichla miyod miyod, a very big chiddush. Not only is a chiddush, it's very shver. So how did Rabbi Yechman Zaka make a takana then when the Beis Nagor goes to Yavne, the same din applies. How the same din apply? There's no karbonis. Last year was together with the karbonis. This year is not with the karbonis.
The
rif
is also blue shofar.
The rif blue shofar is a different story. The rif blue shofar from Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbat. He wasn't in the Ir Atika. He lived in Africa. He lived in Fez. So how come he blew shofar? So that's a different story. The Gemara says that there is a machlokes hatanaim. How far do you go with this exception to the rule? Kol makom sheyesh shom bezn. Wherever the bezn agadol is, he may blow shofar. So the Gemara says there was a machloekes satanayim. What about a bezn di ikroi? What if it's only an ad hoc bezn? It's not the bezn agadol. It's only a bezn di ikroi. Are they allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yud Shabbos also or not? So the Rif understood that what does that mean? A bezn di ikroi. They're only there temporarily. What do you mean? They're running away from the Nazis. What do you mean bezn di ikroi? Or this is not their final location. They plan to move somewhere else. It's only a temporary location. What does that expression mean? So the Rif says it means that they don't have smicha. What if you have a prominent bezin, but they don't have smicha? In the days of the Rif, nobody had any smicha. We don't have any smicha today. The smicha has already ceased to exist in the days of the Amorim. So the Rif held that was a machlokes hatanoim, and that the psak is that you do blow shofar even in a bezin if it's a prominent bezin, even though they don't have smicha. In the presence of that bezin, they're permitted to blow shofar. So based on his shita, he blew shofar on Shabbos. But that opinion was never accepted.
As far as the Esrig and Eder,
when the first day Sukkot, when the first day Sukkot fell on Shabbos.
When they did the Sukkot, not to Shabbos.
In the days of the Bais Sheni, they were Mistaken, but only outside of the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, they did.
About the same time.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Same reason, probably about the same time.
Can we have a probably
the same time. And Shwiz Amigdash, was that followed in Yavne as well?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think so. Ein Shvuz Bamigdosh is only Litzorach HaKrovas HaKarbonis. There are rice from the Gemara and Psochem like that. There are many Shvuz in the Beis HaMikdash. Only if it's very important for the purpose of HaKrovas HaKarbonis. Because HaKrovas HaKarbonis are Deiche Shabbos. So the Shvusim are also with Deiche, the Issa Shvus, if it's Litzorach HaKrovas HaKarbonis. And then the Gemara has a whole discussion, how serious a Tzorach does it have to be? How serious does it have to be the Tzorach HaKrovas HaKarbonis to say Ein Shvuz Bamigdash, that you're allowed to violate Shvusim? The Gemara says in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah that we blow shofar much, much more than is basically required. Much more. The Gemara says we blow tkiyas the miyushim and tkiyas the miyumin, and you really don't have to blow so much. And what's the reason why we blow so much? And the Gemara says kedei la'arbev et ha-satan, to confuse the satan. How exactly do we confuse the satan? How do we succeed in confusing the satan by blowing more than we are required to blow? So Rashi learns on that Gemara, the satan comes to complain to the Rabbanu Shalom that the Yidden are not interested in the mitzvahs. So we demonstrate, not only do we do the mitzvah, we do above and beyond the call of duty. We do way more than, we do mea kailus, we do more than the chachamim even required. The chachamim, I'm gemachta takana to blow two sets, kiz miyushim, kiz miyumah, we blow three sets plus another ten. We blow mea kailus. Mikir adin, you only have to blow 30 kailus because of the sveikas. And then the mea takana to blow 60 kailus, and we blow not only 60, 90, 100, we blow 100 kailus. So that's the irba vasotin. If a person demonstrates that he loves the mitzvah so much, he even does way more than his mukhayif. So that's what Tosis and the Rishonim ask. What do you mean? You do more than your mukhayif to do. It's Baal Tosif. The halacha says that you're not allowed to add on. The kohen likes the idea that he should duchen. There's a brach Hashem Yishmeach, Yair Hashem Paragodach, Yisar Hashem Paragodach, Yair Hashem Chashom. The Zolal is ein gebenched, and I could get benched on a ksiv, 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 and I could get benched on a ksiv. So the Gemara says, he's over on Baal Tosef, you're not allowed to add on. Not allowed to add on more. So how can the Chachamim make such a takana that you add on more, and we have Minhagim, we add on more and more and more. We add on more. So Tosef says it all depends on the nature of the mitzvah. Let's say on Pesach night, there's a mitzvah to eat matzah. So if you eat a kazayis, you eat it. So that's it? If you eat a mashahu more than a kazayis, you eat Baal Tosef?
No.
No, of course not. That's the minimum. What Tosef says the deal is that a sukkah is kosher. If you have shtayim kilchos and two walls adjacent to each other, right angle, ushlishis afila tefach. The third wall doesn't even have to be complete. So if you have a normal sukkah with four walls, it's Baal Tosef. Of course it's not Baal Tosef. Or let's say Talmud Torah. You got to be careful not to learn too much. The Gemara says, you have to learn b'hagisa b'yom v'layla. So the Gemara says, if you say Krishma at night, by Myron, Krishma in the morning, you're yaitse. So you're not allowed to learn anymore. Baal Tosef. Or tzedakah. You have to give a certain amount. So if you give a penny more, Shem Baal Tosef. I used to, when I learned in the summertime with the children, I used to learn with my little children. So they didn't want to learn by themselves. The other kids are playing, so I had to learn with everybody who was there. So we used to learn, we made up, we're going to learn 20 minutes after Shabbos, whatever. So when the 20 minutes went up, I would say, Baal Tosef, everybody has to run. Don't get Baal Tosef, you're not allowed to learn. So obviously that's a joke. You're allowed to give more tzedakah than you mukhif. So you're permitted to learn more Torah. It's an enhancement of the mitzvah. If you learn more, if you daven more, if you eat more matzah, I don't know, you gain more weight. I don't know if that's an enhancement, but it's clearly not Baal Tosef. It's not Baal Tosef. If you have a bigger sukkah, if you have more walls, that is an enhancement. That's Teshu Kein Toduru. That's a Hidur. That's Noye Sukkah, to have four walls instead of the Ramos says, L'chatzir, you should have four walls, not to have just two and a half walls. So how come there's no Baal Tosef? So Tosef says sometimes the shear, it was intended as a minimum. It's not that that is the shear and that's it. That's a minimum. If you do more, there's no Baal Tosef. Here also, one of the kavanas in the Tekisha, there are several kavanas. The Rabbi Nesadivan has several kavanas. One of the ten kavanas that he has in the Tekisha Shofar is that it's a form of tefillah. Who is blowing shofar to whom? Who's supposed to listen? So one kavanah is that we are blowing shofar and we want the Rabbeinu Shalom to hear. We are offering a prayer. The Tekisha Shofar is a form of tefillah. You're going to say, oh, you better daven up fast. You're not allowed to daven longer. You're not allowed to add anything on. Adarabah. The Mishnah says you should always add on to the daven. Yeah, a person should always add on. Havai she's palo adam kol hayom kula. Havai should add on more. So you can't say that there's an iser of Baal Tosef if you're going to blow more shofar. Adarabah. It'll be an enhancement of the mitzvah. That's how the Minchas Chinuch writes. He was mechaven to the Sefer Yireim. So yes, the kasha, let it be an iser of Baal Tosef. So the Yireim and the Minchas Chinuch, I'm mechaben to the same shot. It says in the Chumash, Yom Teruah Yehilachem. So the Pshutah Shal Mikra stands, you should blow shofar all day long. So it doesn't mean that. If you blow Tia three times a year, they finish, Sartik. But there certainly will be an enhancement of the mitzvah if you blow more, because one of the major themes in Tia Shofar is that it's a form of tefillah. Say, Daven long alangish manesis. So what's wrong with that? Adarabah. Everyone should add on more. Another one of the themes in the Tekiah Shofar, the Rabbi Nesadya Gaon writes, is the theme of Malchiyus. That in Rosh Hashanah, the Ribbono Shel Olam created Adam HaRishon, and we say in the beginning of Adon Olam, how do you say? Leis Nata B'chepza Kol Azai Melech Shemo Nikro. When the Ribbono Shel Olam created Adam HaRishon, then he was called the Melech. Up until that time, he wasn't the Melech. If he created Adam HaRishon, then he was a Melech. So every year on Echad B'Tishrei, in commemoration of the Brios Adam, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, when he became a Melech, so he wants us to make a coronation, to accept him as the Melech. over the whole world. So, so he wants us to blow shofar. He wants us to recite Malchus, and he wants us to blow shofar on the anniversary of his. That's the first time he became the Melech, when he created Adam Rishon. The first day, second day, the 6 days, the first the 5.5 days of Sheshes Mei Bereshis, he wasn't yet a Melech. Only after he created Adam, a Melech b'lo yom, he has to have citizens. So after he created Adam Rishon, then he had the status of a Melech. So he wants us every year to declare that he is the Melech. He wants us to say Malchus. And traditionally, even at Ayam Azeh, when they appoint a new king in those countries where they have a king, so they blow the trumpet. They don't blow a shofar, but years ago they used to blow a shofar. So that's one of the 10 kavanas, that you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, have the kavana that we are, this is part of the coronation ceremony, that we're blowing the shofar to proclaim the Rabbanu Shalom as the Melech. So the Bali, just to add a horror, the Bali Musa used to point out that it says when you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you should be mekabel all malchus shamayim, should accept the Rabbanu Shel Olam, that he's God and the King and all the four, north, east, south, west, up, down, and the heavens and the earth all over. So the Bali Musa used to say, a lot of times a person is so busy having all these kavanas, he forgets that the Rabbanu Shel Olam is the melech over him also. The main thing is that you should be mekabel shamayim, he's your melech, and you have to listen. And then a secondary thought should also be, he's not only my boss, he's even the boss over the whole world too. A lot of times I'm so busy having all the fancy additional secondary kavanas, we're missing the ikar chosmas, I'm missing the main kavana, that we're mekabel al malchus aleinu, that he's our melech, and we are mechuyev to listen to everything he says. I remember when I learned in the yeshiva years ago when I was in high school, so we learned the Gemara in the second parak in Baba Basra that a Jewish person had a vineyard where they grew grapes, and he made wine, and he had barrels of wine. And a ganav came and he stole the wine, and they found the barrels a block away, and the barrels were open. So the shaila was, ver gegamit the wine. Did a nochri steal the wine and the barrels are open? It's probably treif, stamienam, or couldn't you assume that a yid stole the wine? So the Gemara says, in this village, in this community, it was rov ganav Yisrael. Most of the ganavim. It doesn't mean that in the history of the world, it means that that village. That's what the Bach points out, that people make a mistake, they think that that's an absolute statement. Rov Ganav in the history of the world are Yidin. The Gemara goes on one particular instance, that the Rov Ganav there. So since the Rov of the Ganav are Yidin, so you can follow us that it was the Yidin, the wine is kosher. So I remember one of the boys asked the Rebbe Kasha, raised his hand. The Rebbe used to give the shir in Yiddish. So the Talmud asked in English, we used to ask in English, and the Rebbe spoke in Yiddish. So the boy asked, I don't understand. What kind of a person is it who's stealing? He's not a religious Jew, he's not a shamishav, he's not a religious person. So he asks his wine also. He's not religious, he also asks his wine. So I remember the Rebbe said at that time, he said in Yiddish, you boys are American, he said. Americans think logically. Either you believe in God, you don't believe in God, you believe in God. So you don't gamve, and you don't machal Shabbos, and you don't do a treifas, you don't do... Absolutely. Either yes or no, it's black or white. He says, the Europeans are not like that. He says, Europeans, they don't think so much. It's not so wise to help. I don't know. Over the years, I see all of us Americans have become Europeans. We don't think so logically. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Ben Adam Machaveiro. It's very easy to be mezalza, cheat on income tax. What happened to God? God said, you're not allowed. God, I'll make God happy. I keep Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras and Mishpacha very strict. But cheating on income tax and cheating in business, because they go talk lashon hara. I know a lot of religious Jews that talk lashon hara. I know a lot of religious Jews, they cheat on tax, they cheat in business and so on. They make a split between baradam lachaver and baradam lamokam. He'll cheat a little bit of money, but he's not going to swear b'shem Hashem and a sefer Torah. He's not going to violate the chil Hashem to swear falsely. Many people are like that. So that's the main aspect of Malchus is we have to be mekabel al malchus aleinu. We should be like Americans. We have to be consistent to realize, do you believe in God? And God is the boss. He said, you're not allowed to do this. Any slight sneeze of an aver is really a murder of Malchus. Any aver that a person does is really a murder of Zara. He's really declaring that he doesn't believe in God. But Islam is not watching you. When you do the aver, when you cheat the other guy, when you talk the Lashon, of course he's watching. The Rambam writes the third kavana. Rabbi Nesadgon has 10 kavanas. The Ram writes a third kavana, the famous Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva. He writes a third kavana in Tkiya Shofar. Then in a certain sense, the Rabbanu Shel Olam is the Baal Tikkun. He wants us to listen. It's a wake-up call. He's calling upon all of us to do tshuva. He says, Afal Pishat Tkiya Shofar B'Rosh Hashanah Gzeiros HaKosevi Remez Yesh Bo. It has a kavana that the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants He's blowing shofar to wake us up. Uri Yishen and Mishen Aschem, he wants to wake us up that we should do tshuva. We should do tshuva. So the Rav once said over on one occasion, he said from the Balei Kabbalah, that's why the Gemara says when you blow shofar you have to have tekiyah, teruah, tekiyah. And the Gemara refers to the tekiyah as the pshuto. The Gemara says you need a pshuto lefaneha and a pshuto lachar. A pshuto means a straight coal. It's not like a shvarim, it's not like a tshuva, just a flat coal. So what does that represent? What's the symbolism in pshuto lefaneha? Pshuto lachar in the middle is a tshuva. So he said, the Balei Kabbalah say, based on the pasuk in Kohelet, so Elokim osa asa adam yashar, ve'eim abikshu chishbonos rabim. The Ribbono Shel Olam made people straight. And they machen kalya, the people do averus, so they become tzedereit. They make themselves tzedereit. So we blow a tkiyah, we blow a pshuto lefaneha, we call it a pshuto to represent the fact that when the Ribbono Shel Olam made us, he brought us into the world, Elokim osa asa adam yashar, we were straight. And then we do averus, so we are mekalkal on a shoma. Truah means broken up. You can break it up like a shvarim. You can break it up like a truah. So we are mekalkal on a shoma. So lest the person think once he made a truah, once he ruined himself, so he can't straighten out. So we say no. You blow up pshuto lachareya. It's possible to revert back to the state that the person was in before. So the message that we are given from the kol hashofar is the lesson of tshuva. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to know, even though we started off as a pshuto and we ruined the pshuto, we ruined our yashrus. But it's possible to end off with a tkiyah, a pshuta lachareya, to do tshuva. Let me just conclude. The Medrash has a Galatiana Medrash in Parshas Emor. I have nothing against. My mother was a Galatiana. Nothing wrong with Galatiana. I remember Dr. Lamb always got very touchy because in the yeshiva, everybody was a Litvish. All the presidents, he was the first Galatiana. So when he first became president, he was very... Gerstenfeld was a Galatiana. So he was, Dr. Lamb was very touchy about this. What's wrong with Galatiana Torah? What's wrong? So there's Azam Medrash. It says, B'chodesh Hashvi Be'echa Lachodesh. B'chodesh Hashvi Be'osa Lachodesh. So the state of the Medrash, B'chodesh Hashvi is the Chodesh Hashvi. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave him an Hashvua. We would have said Chodesh Hashvua. So the Medrash Darshan says Chodesh Hashvi, the seventh month, is the Chodesh of the Shvua, that the Ribbono Shel Olam took an oath at the time of the Akedah. Akedah Yitzchak, according to tradition, was this season of the year. That's why we want to do so many things. They remind the Ribbono Shel Olam of Akedah Yitzchak, and we mention Akedah Yitzchak, Lazara Hayom, Rachmim Tishkar, wanting to remember the Akedah Yitzchak. So on the occasion of the Akedah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Binish bati b'yom Hashem ki ano shasis asadavaze v'lochasatis binchas chidecho." He gave a shviya to Avram Avinu, and it's a given shviya. The Medrash continues to Yitzchak and to Yankov. He's going to take good care of his descendants. So this month is the Chodesh Hashvua. That's how the Medrash emphasizes. There are many, the Achronim quote is a minig. Some people don't have so much time in the morning, so they don't recite the Parshas Akedah every day. Shulchan Aruch recommends, if you have time, you should say Parshas Akedah. So in Chodesh Tishrei, that's when the Akedah occurred, and this is the Chodesh Hashvua. So the Mati Ephraim writes that many people have a meaning that in Chodesh Tishrei they say the Parshas Akedah. Even though all year long, the other 11 months they don't, and in Chodesh Tishrei they try to say it. So we should all remember that a lot of times the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us a break. It's not necessarily always an aschus. We have tremendous chus of it from the... And even if the schud, the Gemara has a lashon, the schud service is shine lost. It's schud service tamer. But the bris service, the shvua light tamer. The shvua is still here. We pull through in the schud, and because of the shvua that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave, and the schud service is not only Avraham Yitzchak Yankov. That was ancient. We had grandparents and great grandparents, many generations of tzaddikim. And why does their schus help us? What do we have to do with the grandparents? The answer is that we are a hemshech of our grandparents. And that's why the schusim help. That's why we have a lot of things we don't deserve and we get in the schus of our ancestors. Not necessarily all the way back, Avraham Yitzchak Yankov, many ancestors, many generations. And the mainly we should realize we have to act accordingly. We have to act in accordance with our tradition. We are not different. He said, well, we live in America and we think different. We're different people. Yeah, we're different, but we're still a hemshech. Sof kol sof, we have the genes of our ancestors. It's in our blood. It's in our circulation. So we have to act in everything we do should be in accordance with our tradition from our ancestors. And our ancestors followed the Torah. every so often there was a yaitim at a club, but basically until the reform movement our ancestors were all shomer mitzvah, so we have to be medaktik in the chodesh hashavu and all year long we have to be medaktik in all the mitzvahs at her. I want to wish everybody a ksiva v'chasima teva, a good gebenst yor. Everybody should have a gemar chasima teva. Next week, Bulaneta will discuss in Yom Kippur. A good yor.